everything is bare. They don't know what to do without Jesus right there with them all the time. As the story goes, after a long, exposed night, a stranger arrives with the dawn, and the stranger notices their emptiness. "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they say, "No." "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you'll find some." And they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came slowly, dragging the net full of fish. From scarcity to abundance. There's something in the telling and the doing, and Jesus is made known to them. And then they catch so many fish. In those days, rich people ate fish. The disciples have now caught many large fish, 153 of them, the text tells us. This is like all those stories where the numbers are too big. Like 120 to 180 gallons of wine that Jesus' miracle at the wedding at Cana. Like the enormous amount of flour that woman worked into bread. Like 12 baskets of leftovers after feeding more than 5,000. The realm of God is about abundance and provision, not scarcity and fear. Jesus doesn't say, "Let's sell these fish and get rich." Jesus says, "Let's eat." The disciples go from empty to full, from lack to banquet, from despair to feast, from scarcity to abundance. And then from feasting to questioning and calling. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." And the second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." And then he said a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." I know you know that Greek has several words for love. And a lot has been made of these words for love. And some of what's been made is a little bit misleading. And some of it's illuminating. Our story this morning uses two of the Greek words for love. Agape and philos. It has been said that agape is the love of God, unconditional love. Philos is another Greek word for love, and it's often indicated the love of friendship. It's misleading to suggest that these two Greek words for love are always distinct in meaning and never interchangeable. Both of these words, for example, are used to describe God's love for us. But even though these two words for love are sometimes used interchangeably, it seems to me that the gospel writer must be trying to tell us something in the way these words are used in this passage. Jesus asks Peter the first time, "Do you agape me?" And Peter answers, "You know I philos you." And Jesus asks again, "Do you agape me?" And Peter answers again, "You know I philos you." And then a third time, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you philos me?" And poor Peter finally says, "Yes, yes, you know I philos you." Jesus comes to where Peter is, comes with a charcoal fire and bread and fish, comes to the love that Peter has to offer. Jesus meets Peter where he is and renews Peter's calling. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. You love me, you're my follower, you're my friend. Now live in that love. Live into the love of courage, of risk. Follow me in love. Jesus won't give up. Jesus asks Peter if he agape loves him, and that seems to be more than Peter can do. It's like Peter says, I philos you, Jesus, that's what I've got. That's where I am. And finally, in that persistent love that won't give up, Jesus meets him there. Okay, Peter, you love me the best you can, and I'll be with you in that love. What a gift. Jesus doesn't give up. Jesus does this with each one of us. This meeting us where we are in love, though, doesn't leave us there. It doesn't say, oh, that's the best you can do, that's fine, and let's move on. The persistence of Jesus's love continues, calls us always forward, calls us to more, feed my lambs. Jesus calls us through love to move forward, to act, to share, to work, to live our love, to grow it, expand it. This is lavish, persistent love. Mr. Rogers has been one of my greatest teachers. He met us all where we were each day. You've made this day special, he would say, just by you being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. If you were a child or raised a child any time from 1968 to 2001, you likely heard Mr. Rogers say these words. He embodied his belief that each person is worthy of love and acceptance, and that knowing that you're loved deeply for exactly who you are allows you to love others deeply exactly as they are. He said once, you know, I think everyone longs to be loved and longs to know that he or she is lovable. And consequently, the greatest thing we can do is to help somebody know they're loved and capable of loving. Capable of loving. Love meets us where we are. And the belief that we're all capable of loving compels us forward, moves us to more love, more sharing, more grace. In our psalm this morning, the psalmist extols again and again God's steadfast love endures forever. When Grayson and I were practicing, he said, how many times does it say God's steadfast love endures forever? What number did we come up with? Like 8 times. If I'm going to talk about Greek words for love, I feel I really must mention the Hebrew word for love that's used in this psalm. It's hesed. In lectionary lab, I confused this for a different Hebrew word. A word for love that has the same root word as womb. This isn't that word. Sorry, everybody, I was confused. The word hesed is connected to covenant and loyalty. Just like agape in Greek is often thought of as the love that God has, but it isn't used exclusively for God. This word, hesed, is most often, but not exclusively, attributed to the kind of love God has for us. Hesed is, as biblical scholar Daryl Bach wrote, love wrapping up in itself all the positive attributes of God, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. In short, acts of devotion and loving kindness that go beyond the requirements of duty. Hebrew doesn't have a word for grace. Hesed is as close as it gets. Hesed sees us and loves us exactly as we are, with steadfast persistence, with an endlessness that won't give up. And in that love, that active love, we're compelled forward. Mr. Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian minister. You probably already knew that. He once wrote, "Love isn't a perfect state of caring. It's an active noun, like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way they are right now." So Mr. Rogers wasn't telling us as children that we were perfect and there was no room for improvement. He was telling us that we're loved regardless of who we are and what we've done. And in this love, we can be loving. This is the love that Jesus offers Peter. This is the love of God, which the psalmist sings. This is the love we strive, as Amy said, to offer ourselves and each other. Love is active. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. These are concrete acts of grace, tangible action items. This is love lived. This is abundance embodied. This is how we can be when we know that we are loved and welcomed and needed. How are we loving? What are we tending? What are we feeding? There's so many answers. We tend gardens and share our produce with the women's shelter, feeding women and children. We tend the color garden and provide a feast for our eyes and for the bees and butterflies. We feed hungry families with our first Sunday food offerings each first Sunday. We feed LGBTQAI plus youth at Grace Place. We feed minds through education programs. We feed spirits through music and worship in the labyrinth. We feed each other with connection and coffee and snacks during hospitality, with shared meals in the fellowship hall. Love is what we offer each other and ourselves and the world, and that love compels us to feed and tend and care. We are striving to live the steadfast, persistent experience.